Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Hospitality Maverick podcast with me, Michael Tingser. We at Hospitality Mavericks are here to inspire entrepreneurs and leaders in the hospitality industry to create heart-centered and profitable businesses from the inside out, the kind that both employees and customers love and support. In today's podcast, we'll be talking with Søren Iversen, the Chief Operating Officer at SEEK. SEEK is an internal concept that helps to create value for organizations by making work lives of their employees easier and more fun. It does this by providing a very intuitive and user-friendly platform for organizations of all sizes to benefit from having key information and crucial updates available in one place, among some other very cool features. We got in touch with Søren to hear more about his journey, SEEK, and how it can assist hospitality operators in the challenging environment and at the same time getting compliant with GDPR. Hello, Søren. A pleasure to have you here at Hospitality Mavericks. And we've really been looking forward to today because we're going to be talking about something that's very relevant, productivity, and also GDPR, which is coming up for many, many businesses.
Yeah. Hey, Michael. Well, thanks so much for having me.
So can you start off telling your story and a bit of an overview of what SEEK is and what the key features is?
Yeah, sure. So I guess briefly about myself. My name is Søren Iversen. I'm the COO for SEEK, which is a social intranet, if you say it very, very briefly. The core about SEEK is focused on communication. So it's a cloud-based software that is focused on information and knowledge sharing. It kind of combines all of the best features from corporate intranets and social media. So it's a tool where you can engage your employees. You can basically reach them with a few clicks. There are loads of features like chat groups, news feeds, and so on. You have personal branding. And obviously, we have a big part about GDPR compliance as well, as you mentioned briefly. I guess we can go into more detail about the product later on, but that's the very, very quick story about SEEK and what we do.
So which is the typical clients and users you have of the platform?
We have a lot of different clients, but we have a lot of clients in the hospitality sector, a lot of focused around mobile employees. The service is both web and app-based, meaning that you get instant push notifications when there are news that you need to read, something that you need to respond to, or in general, just keep you updated, which is very, very good once you have mobile employees in, say, restaurants or retail stores and so on. So an example would be Dunkin' Donuts, where you have some of our clients are needing information very, very quickly once they're in restaurants. It can be if they've forgotten how to turn on the fridge or whatever it may be. It can be in the guidelines on our platform. So it's easy access to very, very critical information.
Yeah, and what I really love about SEEK as well is the ability for the frontline employees to actually to be empowered to take action. Sometimes they don't have to go and find their managers. And we know we now have the millennial generation, which is used just to Google things. They don't ask their managers. They just Google things and find a solution for it. So that's what I really love about the product as well.
It's a good point, and sorry to interrupt, but it's we have this search bar in our software, which is, without being too technical, you can kind of have a search bar that looks at different aspects of a platform, whereas ours searches across all of different folders, chats, documents, and so on. So if you remember that you've had a chat with your manager or a conversation over SEEK with your manager about the till and how to handle the till, you can quickly search for it and similar to Google, you'll get the answer in seconds.
Yeah, and I think that's really valuable as well, because you will always, in a hospitality business, you often go and look for either paper, or you're trying to find that Excel spreadsheet or that manual to do those things, and you can just have it about a tip of your fingers now. I think that's really interesting. But moving to another subject that's really hot in the moment, GDPR. A lot of businesses are talking about it, and we've been talking about it as well. This is a challenge. There's no doubt about it, but this is coming and it's here to stay. And the consequence of not being on top of it can be quite big. But it's quite amazing that still two-thirds, like almost 60% of UK businesses, are not 100% aware how GDPR is going to actually impact them or affect their organization. Can you, I know it's not a simple, GDPR is not simple. Can you, in a way, simplify what GDPR is? is, and maybe also how does Seek actually help, you know, hospitality businesses in this sense?
Yeah, sure. That's a very big question, but I'll give it a go. First of all, obviously I'm not a lawyer, but I can at least give my two cents on how we perceive it with Seek and how we've approached it. So I guess to kind of take it, split it into two, because it's twofold, right? So if you look at just GDPR in general and what it is, and I completely agree with you. I think that there are a lot of companies out there that are not 100% aware of how it's going to affect them, simply also because it's so new. And I think also a lot of the regulatory bodies don't know yet. But overall, GDPR is a way of having all of the members of the European Union and the countries that deal with their countries have a form of unified approach to how they handle their data. So it's a way of you and I as a customer and as private people to have knowledge about where our data is at all times. And so the overall idea, I really like the idea, and it's a good approach that you now have. Also with the larger corporations, that you actually know where your data is and how it's used for advertisements or profiling or whatever it may be used for. Where it becomes kind of tricky, and I think that's where the 60% that you mentioned might fail to see what they should do, is that there are a lot of demands to kind of all organizations, because this affects anyone if you're one man band to multinational corporation. So you need to know, I guess simplified a bit, where you're storing personal information. And personal information can be anything from your name, email address, phone number. It can really be everything, right? So I think also some of the smaller companies, they have this personal data because they might have their customer information, they might have some information of some of their partners. So it's very, very important for them to know, how do I store and manage this information? And that is a very, very tricky process, because what you need to have all these data processor agreements, you need to have know that your privacy policy is in order, and you need to know exactly where the data is stored, how to access it, and how to delete it if it's asked by the customer. Second point to it is that a lot of companies will have to not completely change their setup, but they definitely need to make some changes to it, because from now on, what you need to do is that you need to have essentially what's called privacy by design or by default. So you're no longer, when you're signing up to or buying something online beforehand, the box about getting a newsletter was always ticked and you had to untick it. That has to be the other way around. So you have to going on from here, you have to actively sign up to things for your data to be stored with a different company. So I guess that's kind of the first part of GDPR, and I'm not sure if it summarized it very well, but at least that's some of the points that cover a bit on the GDPR side.
So what you're saying is that you need to know where your data is stored, you need to be able to control it. What I mean by that is delete it. And you need to make sure that when people sign off, they've done that on their own will and not by an accident. It has to be very clear for them they are signing up with their personal data.
Exactly. That's probably a much better summary than mine. But yeah, I guess that's the first bit of your question around GDPR. And the second bit around, you were asking about how Seek has approached the journey of compliance. So I think for us, similar to the 60% you mentioned before, we went through different stages, where the first one was kind of chaos, right? Because you didn't really know what was up and down. You didn't know what was expected from you and so on. So the first stage is just kind of going from not knowing what's demanded from you, and going into the second stage, which is more creating an overview. So that's what we did. We basically sat down, tried to find as much information out there as possible. There's a lot more today because we're so close to the 25th of May. So there's a lot more kind of like guidelines out there that people can follow. But when we started, it was very, very hard to find articles. So we kind of took everything that we could, gathered a list, and then our approach from there on was that we actually thought that we could do everything ourselves and just get compliant by following our own little steps, our own guidelines. But we realized quite quickly in that process that we needed to work with professional people in this sense to make sure that our system was 100% compliant. And doing that, we also came to the realization that actually we might be able to take GDPR from being a big challenge for us and something that we just had to get over with into making it more of a, not a trademark, but something that might be an advantage for helping our customers. So working with these experts, they obviously helped us create all the documents needed to adapt our platform, to make sure that we store the information as we should. And in that, we also gained that we are actually able to help our customers become compliant in their internal communication. So that was kind of us looking at GDPR and saying, how do we turn this into a trademark? So that's kind of been the journey. But other than that, there's not a lot of kind of tricks to it, right? There are just a lot of steps that you need to go through. It's not as complicated as people make it out to be. Once you get into it and once you see kind of what's needed and you go through the different points, it's quite straightforward. It's just the fact that there are so many different points that you need to clear and so many points that you need to have in order, which makes it very, very challenging. And obviously for larger organizations, I'm sure that there are so many layers that I don't know of that are making it more complicated.
Yeah, but what we've been talking a lot about, we usually mention internal communication, is that when I've seen and worked with clients of ours, is that they often, you know, they either use WhatsApp groups or they have Facebook, they're using other social media channels to communicate internally with the staff. And that's everything from sales numbers to tools to, you know, very confidential information. And I think that's a very good example in my world about how you as Seek as well can take control of those channels, because you don't own those channels, I understand, as a company. You're just borrowing them and everybody have in principle access, and they can share your information if they want to do that. Facebook, and we heard about Facebook leaks and all those kind of things.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a very, very good point. And we see that as well a lot with our clients, is that knowing now what they know, that you're actually not allowed to use social media, they want to go on to a different platform where they own all the data, they control who has access to it. And if a person leaves a company for whatever reason, they can just log out their access and they won't have access to any of the data anymore. But I think especially with Facebook, WhatsApp group, as you mentioned, a lot of companies are not aware that you're not allowed to use this in a professional setting. So again, going back to kind of what defines personal data, it can be as little as a name, it can be a phone number, it could be an email address, which a lot of people are communicating if you're in retail. It can also be on just general information about your customers. If you've set up a Facebook group or a WhatsApp group in your company, all of your employees will be using their private accounts. So they will be using their private WhatsApp account, which essentially means that once you transfer the data, it can be sales numbers or whatever it is, you transfer it to their private account, and now they have access to that data. They kind of own that data, and you cannot by any means access that. You cannot delete that. You cannot go back in and say, actually, you're not meant to have this information about this customer, because it's already in their private account. So it's a very, very big issue, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we've been talking about, where Seek always helps, because I see it as well, like the whole way of sharing information. You can control who gets which information, and also you can take that away from them, and you own 100% the data. It's a bit like, yeah. I always, when I talk about people with Seek, I call it Dropbox, Google search, and WhatsApp in one thing. For the employees, yeah. that's the small version in my world of it, and you control that environment. It's not your staff. When you have a situation where somebody leaves the business, you in one go you can actually delete them from the communication within your business, and also the data and the information they had access to.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming back to some of the things we talked about, Søren, as well, when you selecting a new cloud software for your business. What is it actually businesses should be looking for? What kind of steps do they take before they actually start selecting these things? Because there's so much software out there. There's probably hundreds of tools out there. How should they find out what is the right thing for them, both when it comes to GDPR, but also to improve productivity within the business?
Obviously, there are a million different things that you can look at when you you're selecting a new software. And I think if I just have to kind of give my advice on three different things to look at, then the first thing that you should consider when you're looking at a software is obviously what problem should it solve in your business, and what approach you're going to take to it in terms of best of breed versus full suite. So just to explain those two a bit, you have these two different terms within software, where full suite is more of a, you can say, a broad general software that covers a lot of different points, but to a high level, so not going into the detail. And best of breed, which is a lot more granular, so focusing on a specific problem that they want to solve. So that's your first kind of question, which way you want to go. With Seek, just as an example, we've decided to go for best of breed because we feel it's more important to be able to be really, really strong on one single point. As you've mentioned before, it's kind of a combination between social media. So you have your feed that you've seen from Facebook and LinkedIn. You have the search function from Google. You have the chat that you have in WhatsApp and the documents in Dropbox. So everything with us is focused around your internal communication. We've then integrated with others. So if you want to do checklists, we can do that with Mubaro. If you want to do gamification, we can do that with Learning Bank. So we've kind of taken that approach. So that's the first one. I guess the second one that you need to look at is the setup. There are a lot of softwares out there that are very, very easy to access, very easy to get started with. And then there are some where you kind of have big investments up front. It might take a bit of time to get it adapted to your company and so on. So you need to make sure if it's something you need to get started right away, just have a look at what's the setup time and what's the setup cost to it. And then I think the third part, which is very, very critical, is the ease of use. So it needs to be intuitive. And this is probably the biggest thing for any software that you're going to choose. If it's not easy for the employees to use it, they're just going to use something else. There's actually been a study done that 90% of the cloud software is used in companies is not approved by IT. So that's just showing that if it's not easy to use, your employees are just going to go out and they're going to use a different software that they know work. And a lot of this is social media. So I think it was about 55%, with that number increasing the younger your workforce is. So you really need to have something that's very, very intuitive that people can just use straight away without too much training. I guess that would be kind of the three things to look for.
And I think it's a very valid point you have there in the end, because recently I worked with a client of ours, and they had a scheduling system.
Yeah.
And the managers, I went into the offices and we went through the process of how to do scheduling. And then in the end, he had to share that with his staff. And what he did, because apparently he didn't know how, and it was very complicated to find that function, how to share it with the employee in a digital way, he took a picture of the screen and posted on their WhatsApp group. And that was very, very interesting. It's a very good example of what you're saying here. If you're spending a lot of money on a scheduling system, but it's not utilized because people don't know how to use it, or then they just go out and take other stuff. And I think that's spot on. So staying a bit like in the implementation phase, if an hospitality operator decided to implement Seek, what is the biggest benefits they will get from doing that? What are the biggest wins you can say they will see straight away when they do this? And what kind of stories have you heard from your clients when you've done that, as Dunkin' Donuts, etc.?
So again, this depends a bit on which specific sector they're in, because Seek can help in a lot of different aspects. So I guess if you start more overall, the main thing here is that you can reach all of your employees in a few clicks. So we've created in a hierarchical structure, meaning that you can match any organization one-to-one, so that you can send out information to, let's say, everybody that's part-timers in a store. You can send it out only to the managers. You can send it out to all the ones that are around Brightson. So you decide yourself who you want to approach, or if you want to approach all of your employees. We've actually had a lot of positive feedback on this, because if you're in hospitality and let's say that you do breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you have a lot of people coming in on different shifts. So if you're communicating something out to your team, it's very, very hard to reach everybody without having to be there the full day, and then people are off sick and so on. So that's one of them. And what we have there on top of that is that there's read and confirm function, so that you can see when people have actually read it. So that's quite critical. Obviously, as you mentioned slightly before as well, there are a lot of manuals out there. So this is a way of digitalizing your business. You can get rid of all the paperwork, and overall, you can just kind of automate a lot more of the processes that you have in your company, which is a strong point as well. Other points, without maybe going into too much detail, you have internal branding because you get your logo on there. There's the FAQ that we touched upon briefly before, which allows your employees to actually find the information themselves, which means that, one, they get the information a lot quicker and they don't have to bother a manager of finding the information. GDPR, we've touched upon. It's also very, very intuitive, as we just talked about before. So there's very, very little training needed if you have high turnover in people. And I guess to that point, you can have a lot of training on the system as well. So you can have your videos and so on to make sure that as soon as you onboard people, you onboard them very, very quickly.
Is there any specific types of, we're talking about now implementing it and what kind of benefits it gives? Is there any specific, operator that really would gain from this? Is this quick service? Is this casual dining? Or is this relevant for everyone in your view?
I mean, in my view, it's relevant for everyone. And also, if you look at our customer profile, we do really have a very wide number of customers and from a lot of different industries. But I would say it's very, very good for mobile employees, right? So that's very much if you need to access the information quickly. And again, going back to kind of all the points before, if you're in a restaurant, for example, this will save you time and money, right? Because you can get the information very, very quickly. You make sure that the manager's time is utilized the best way possible. It's easy on the shift planning or whatever it may be. So you're saving a lot of time while you're also making your employees more efficient, you can say.
Yes, because then leads me into the question about productivity. Do you have some feedback from clients, understanding about how your technology actually helps with the productivity? Because you said giving the managers time to focusing on what's really is the right thing, the employee and the customer experience. Do you have any stories, feedback where you've actually seen that this technology can help with that?
Yeah, so obviously, without mentioning any names, we have a lot of clients that are really, really enjoying the fact that they can close down all of their social media groups, simply because before they had maybe 20 different groups across WhatsApp, Facebook, and so on, which is very, very confusing for a manager. So they've been able to close that down, which also means that you can kind of put a line between your professional and your private life, which is very important to them. Other good stories that are around kind of campaigns you can run. So say that you are running a new thing in a coffee shop about actually selling cookies. You can put in different kind of question techniques. You can put a small price in there. So it kind of creates a lot of engagement, and it's just a very, very quick way for you to get out with a new promotion or a new product. We've had a lot of kind of franchises where the stores between them share success stories, and they can share this instantly, right? So if it's about selling umbrellas when it rains, you can share that instantly so that the other store managers can do that within seconds or minutes, right? So that's just some of the stories that we've had up until now. And then overall, people just enjoy using the software.
What I often talk with people from technology selling into hospitality and the operators is that the human factor. Do you think technology is going to take away the human factors, which is so important in hospitality? Because the human factor is creating the experience in my world. But is technology actually going to take that away at some point?
No, I mean, obviously, again, that depends on which position that you're looking at, right? But I don't think so. This should just hopefully enable the personal factor to be more efficient and to actually spend time on what they need to do. So if you're in the restaurant, they need to spend time on talking with the customers, asking them how the food was, making sure that they have enough to drink and so on. So they shouldn't spend time on finding information, right? So hopefully it should just enable the personal experience to be a lot better than it is today, and taking away some of the chores and some of the tasks that the people didn't enjoy doing anyways.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And also make sure that all the information that is there is the most updated information, because often hear as well that people are maybe looking at not updated materials and spending time on that, and then actually not following the procedure right and stuff like that. So I can see that that's another way where you actually take the human bit in again. You're doing things that actually is the right thing to do, because that's the updated information you needed out in the stores.
Yeah.
So my last question I always ask people here on the podcast is that if they could give one advice to someone starting their own hospitality, what would that be? And I guess you will take the technology perspective on this, but what would your advice being to them, you know, seeing these businesses from the outside, not being from the industry? I always think that you can give a quite another angle on the world of hospitality.
I guess whether it's a hospitality business or whatever it is, I would probably take the approach that I've taken in the businesses that I've been involved with. So I would try to automate as much as possible and get kind of as many things into process as I could using all the tools available, right? So for me, I think what we've been doing at Seek is also we're using a lot of other cloud-based softwares to kind of ease our working day, right? So use kind of as many tools as you can to make sure that knowledge is transferred between your employees. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you know this industry better than I do, but there are a lot of people kind of high churn and high turnover in people and so on. So it's very, very important that you don't have any silent knowledge in the company, and also that you can quickly kind of train the new people starting. Because I think, going back to your point before, that the personal aspect of a restaurant is very, very important. So you need to have them up and running very, very quickly. So I would say automate as much as possible and make sure that you're using all the tools that you can to make your life easier.
I think you're spot on this, son. I always say take as much as the heavy lifting away from managers and employees you can, so they can do what they're really passionate about. And that's often this hospitality people want to be out with their guests or be together with their colleagues. They don't want to do admin work. They don't want to do repeatedly tasks that doesn't add value. I have seen so many times people questioning, you know, operation systems and processes because they haven't been thought through. There's just been decided on board level that we're going to do that, and then nobody else removes them when they don't add value. So you're spot on. That's all we had time for today. I'm sure we're going to catch up soon, and I'm sure that people can reach out to you if they want to have a bit of advice on GDPR. I got a bit smarter on it now and I know a bit more, but it's a complicated thing. But as you said, it's like anything else, you need to in a way digest it down to small chunks and find out what's relevant for you and then start action on that.
Yeah, definitely. And as you say, I'm more than happy to speak to anybody who has any questions and see how we can help, or maybe somebody that we're working with can help. And we're more than welcome to have a look at the website as well. It's on seek.io.
Good. And with that, thank you very much, Søren, and speak to you soon.
Speak soon. Thanks, Michael.
That's all we have time for today. Thank you, Søren, for sharing your story, providing insights into the Seek app and how it can assist hospitality businesses, improving communication and boosting productivity, and not to forget getting compliant with GDPR. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please give us a like, share, or even better, tell us what you think. If you could dream up a fantasy app, what would that be and what would it do for you? How is your hospitality business ensuring GDPR compliance? A massive thank you to Laura Evans from Let's Talk Video Production and her continued assistance with these podcasts. We hope you've enjoyed today's Hospitality Maverick podcast with me, Michael Tingser. Tune in next time for another industry interview, and in the meantime, find out more about us at hospitalitymavericks.com. Thanks for listening, and be Maverick.